Hello and good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is welcome to another special live edition of the Dan Assell podcast for event professionals. Thanks to anyone that's watching live, and also many of you that I know will be watching on demand. Got a very special guest in the studio, Vanessa Lovett, who I will bring on in a second. We're going to be talking about hacks to ramp up registration and attendee experience. As always, just like to thank my show supporters, TF Connects, Tarsus Group, Terrapin, and 19 Group, and also the new show's official venue sponsor, Carbon Neutral Conference and Exhibition Centre, BDC London, who are currently setting their sights on reaching net zero before 2030. Head to bdc.london for more information. I've got some other great shows coming up. I'm going live with Trevor Foley of TF Connects, a recruitment firm in the exhibition industry, also next Thursday, and loads of episodes coming up of my podcast. So head to danassell.com for more info. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on Vanessa.
Hello, Dan. How are you?
I am very well. And Vanessa, you've been all over social media in the last few days. So I want to start actually by seeing what you've been up to. What events
Yeah.
should be that?
Do you know, it actually has been a really busy period of events. Last week, I went to the Sustainable Event Breakfast Briefing, which is run by Event Industry News. Really, really
That's a
worthwhile.
new
Really
event they're
worth.
launching, right?
So yes, they are. They're launching, you're absolutely right, Event Sustainability Live
Something like that. It's
in
about
November.
sustainability in the events industry.
Yes,
I think
which
it's
I
really
think is
aimed at.
great. It was a really useful hour. It was a good refresher for me personally, having not been on the organizer side for a little while. It was really good to get that, what's out of the tools that are available. And there's some amazing tools, actually, I learned about, and having scoped them out, I can see how valuable that they are going to be for event organizers. Then I went to Convex, where I was very fortunate to bump into you, which was there weren't enough minutes for me at Convex, so I needed more time.
You literally can't walk up from one end of Excel to the other, right, without bumping.
Which is good, is a really, really good thing, and it makes it so energizing. It was very energizing. But I actually have some self-critique on that next time when I see lovely people like you who I know, I'm not going to talk to you for as long because I need to speak to
There
people
is
who I
that.
don't know.
Well, we're going
But
to
it was
talk
really.
about attendee experience, actually. So that's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, and we'll get onto it in a minute, but serendipity at events is put forward as a sort of, I guess, a big thing, right? And like in live events experience, not necessarily planning. However, it can also be disruptive to your day, not in the nicest possible way. You
Completely.
want to speak to everybody, but you can't. So,
Yeah.
when that sort of line between nice to see you, but I've got to go now.
But I think what was really good for me about it was recognizing now, next time I go to something similar to that as an attendee, I will be more disciplined with myself about what I'm trying to achieve for the event. And let's be honest, most attendees aren't especially disciplined. Some are, and some are on an absolute, military style mission. But the vast majority are happy to be led where the event journey takes them. So it puts quite a lot of responsibility in the hands of the organizer to make sure that they actually have a really good experience.
I'm going to come and talk about that. So I should say, for those that are watching live, and we actually have a few people, so thank you very much. I'm always like delighted and surprised in equal measure that people give up their time. I feel a
You
responsibility.
indeed. Send us thoughts and comments as well.
Was going to say, the first thing is let us know who you are, where you're what where you come where you're where you're watching, where you're watching from, and feel free to ask some questions, mostly of the intelligent
Intelligent.
investment.
We'll do our
What
best to
about
answer.
your I can hear myself twice in my podcast. Can you?
Sound fine to me, so I think you're
No.
probably right.
All
Maybe
right,
mute
cool.
and
So
mute that holder.
we're going to talk about hacks to ramp up registration and attendee experience. And I think we're going to focus on four things this afternoon. We're going to chat about changing expectations post-COVID and also, I guess, as you said, experience at recent events. So we're going to start off with, I guess, oh, let's just say hello to a few people. So we've got Rebecca Sosner, if I've pronounced that correctly.
Yeah, we're sound now.
Salzner, you think it's Salzner? Okay, Rebecca, let me know if I'm right, Salzner, or let Vanessa know if she's right. But again, I'm always amazed, the power of online, virtual, and all that sort of good stuff, that we're getting people from Florida. Very nice. Also, Anna Marie. I'm due to speak to you. Nice to see you. And also to my colleague at ClearPath Analysis, Alona. Let's move on. Otherwise, the whole 20 minutes or so will be just welcoming people. That's always nice. So we're going to start. We're going to talk about four different parts, I guess, of the attendee experience. We're going to talk about planning to start off with. Yeah. So lots of event planners watching. We've both been in event planning. Let's bring that to life. The concept of planning your event. Let's talk about that.
And I will add in, when you say we have been it, I've been doing it in the last 6 months as well. Sure. So this is very, very alive for me as well. Hello, Ray. Very happy Gleaning user. Nothing surprises me about that statement.
Yeah, Gleaning is excellent. Quick plug for Gleaning.
Yes, definitely. If anyone isn't familiar with it, it's a great tool to get more attendees to register, basically. Yeah. Get your attendees to get other attendees.
Paying to say that.
Nothing, actually. I just really, really love the Gleaning team. I think they're tremendous. They are. Anyway, so let's move on. Right back at the planning. Do you mind if I just like launch in here, Dan?
Yeah,
because I'm incredibly passionate about this. And this is really harsh, but your attendee doesn't really give a crap about you, the event organizer. I hope I'm all right to use that word.
So it might be cut off.
I won't say it again. Sorry, as soon as I said it. They don't care about you. And that sounds really harsh. And it's not something that anyone never likes to be told or to hear, or so-and-so doesn't care about you. But your attendee, rightly, and we should encourage this and embrace it, cares about themselves, probably about their business as well. But what they are going to get from your event, how they're going to get it, what's in it for them in a nutshell. And this is stuff we know this. This is not a new concept, but what we've become incredibly good at as event organizers, and I really mean that, we've become really good at focusing on what we want to achieve from an event. And I'm not saying that's not important. It's very important. You're doing it for a reason. But you have to put your attendees' needs at the absolute center of all of your concept planning for your event. And it's not always that easy. I'm saying this as if you can just do it tomorrow, easy peasy, job done. But if you haven't got your attendees' needs at the heart of your very, very original planning, your whole creation, design, development of your event, you run the risk of just never really engaging with them in the first place.
Seems an obvious one, that, right?
It's an obvious one, but we consistently, we don't do this, actually. And you don't have to look far to look at event websites or to see agendas. And you can kind of see then they're built with the organizers' objectives in mind, as opposed to necessarily purely the attendees' goals and objectives.
So, and obviously when you say attendees, there are normally different types of attendees that are targeted for an event. Interesting. This is how dull I am in my spare time, but reading a lot about attendee personas. And actually, is that still a valid thing? You know, persona planning, you know, we all get sort of around a table and this is a typical attendee and that one's a typical attendee. What would you suggest?
I'm going to ask you a question, Dan, but do you think it's still relevant? Actually, firstly, maybe do you want to just define attendee personas, just in case there's anyone watching?
So, you know, you might get around a room with some marketing types and they might say, and I guess it's the same for products, right? If you're selling a product. So, you know, our typical customer might be Dan. He is middle-aged, just about. Balding and lives in North London, and he is interesting in this particular product, whereas you've got someone else and they're female and of a certain age, and this is how we might attract them. So where do they hang out? Where does Dan hang out on social media or physically or whatever? How can I get to them? So it's really, I guess, understanding who you think your target audience is and then coming up with a number of types or personas of sort of marketing speak.
Personally, I think it's still relevant. I think Well, actually, one thing we should just quickly do, Dan, is I acknowledge how many different sorts of events there are. We're just like dumping events in one gigantic bucket. But actually, if you take an exhibition, you're going to have lots of different attendee persona profiles compared to an internal communication, which, yes, you might have salespeople and marketing people from your own organization joining your internal event, but they're probably, you're probably going to have slightly fewer or less variety in your personas. But personally, I think it's very important. Yeah. And the more detailed you can be around the drivers of those individual attendee personas, the more likely you are to create an event experience that truly resonates with them and isn't something that's just for the masses. But I really, really encourage folks to do as much qualitative research as well as quantitative research.
What's the difference?
Your attendees. So talk to them. Yeah. Don't just send out emails. Surveys. Surveys are great. That's not me knocking a survey. Absolutely fundamentally important and really, really will help you with getting the mass of opinions and information gathering and intelligence gathering on your potential attendees. But speak to them. Actually get a profile, take your personas, make sure you speak to an appropriate number of each group of personas. So don't just research with one persona group and then expect that intelligence that you gather to apply to all. Actually ask them, like, why would you come to an event like this? What would stop you coming to an event like this? What do you want to leave an event like this able to do after that you couldn't do before? What will make you get on a plane, if that's what's involved, or a train or an automobile, and come to my event? What do you need to see? And we should never assume, especially in today's times when people's opinions have changed, expectations have changed, we should never assume that we know or that we can work it out on our own. You have to ask them.
I guess then off the back of that comes the detail of the venue, the location. Also things like the reg form is important, right? I read a recent article I was talking to you before where there was a survey with organizers that people more and more are leaving registration to the last minute, whether that's paid or free. Simple things like reg forms needs to be looked at. You know, how much data are you collecting in advance? How much can be collected later? Should we literally just collect the initial contact details? And then if we're interested in deep diving in terms of, you know, preferences on food and all that sort of stuff, we can work that out later. What's your view on that in terms of...
I think it depends on the event to a certain extent, but it also depends on the value that the attendee feels they will get from providing you with that extra data. Sure. So you gave an example there of food. Now, actually, I'm pretty happy to share what food I would like to eat because it's really easy, and also for some people who have, you know, dietary preferences, it's really or necessity. It's incredibly important. But actually, I think for me, it's where you're starting to get more into the attendee profiling, perhaps their interests, their goals, their focuses, which is incredibly valuable for you to know. I mean, it's gold dust for you to know. But I do find myself sometimes with the longer forms feeling like, oh, God, they're asking even more. Yeah. And if I don't trust that that is going to give me a better experience providing that information, and then I'm not such a fan of it. If you can take that experience, that insight that I've shared and suggest two or three sessions based on what I've shared that are most likely to be of benefit to me, then I'm delighted. I've spent 5 minutes filling in a form and now I know those two sessions are probably going to give me a better experience than if I hadn't completed that form. So this is exactly what I mean about doing everything with the attendee in mind. So the organizer needs the info. Don't question that. Yeah. But if it's not also a benefit to the attendee of providing that info, why should you expect them to do it, to be honest?
Makes sense. So obviously we're just touching upon these sort of four topics briefly. So obviously lots of planning that needs to go in.
Yeah, we've gone a bit deeper.
Lola from Digit Events. So we're going to
Hi Lola.
Hello Lola.
You're snow in Edinburgh? Probably. It's pretty snowy where I am and I'm in the middle of the country.
Probably. Lovely city. Let's talk about prioritizing the attendee experience. So you touched on it a little bit there. What do you mean by that? Is that like, you know, what I'm going to take away from the event if I come? What's the...
And I think this is really important in all of your pre-show marketing as well, and for an internal event. Just because an event is being run for your own employees doesn't mean you should just assume they're going to turn up with, you know, bells on and delighted. They still need to understand the value. And this is absolutely, what's the benefit? What is your attendee going to be able to do after the event that they couldn't do before the event? Mm-hmm. And being quite blunt, if you and your team can't come up with at least one thing in response to that, I'd be really worried. And I would suggest that you go back, spend some time with one another to agree, this is what our attendee can do after the event that they couldn't do before. And you really got to have this, because if that doesn't exist, why should an attendee come to your event? Why should they bother registering? If they do register and it's a free event, then why should they bother showing up? And yeah. I did read something on LinkedIn not long ago at all. Someone had looked at a wide variety of event marketing websites, and what he consistently saw was this massive lack of information about what you would learn, what you would take away, how you would grow as an individual. There's a lot of what these speakers in this venue, 78 sessions or whatever it might be, but there wasn't much of the why you should care about what that event was going to achieve for you. And so this really comes back to, you've got to know it, which is what we've discussed earlier, but then you've actually got to share that back to the potential attendee to get them to register and to get them to have a really good time on site. So as a hack, because I realize we said hacks, I would really encourage you to have one 2-sentence statement that you've agreed with your team. This is what the attendee will get from this event. Mm-hmm. And stick to it like glue. You know, it should be at the top of every single meeting briefing agenda, or in every meeting notes, just constantly going back to it. And every time you've got a difficult decision to make, which are many, many, many difficult decisions during the event planning cycle, just go back to that. What decision do we make to enable this to actually happen? And then share that information with the delegates too.
Yeah, and I think also the language that we use in our sort of communication material to potential attendees isn't always the language that is effective in terms of who's going to be reading it, in terms of those personas that we spoke about. So I think copywriting, and it's more and more I've seen this obviously with the advent of AI and all these different tools that are available, and also human interaction, because I guess it's easy just to throw some copy on a page or into a graphic or whatever and not think about who's going to be reading that. So you don't want to fall into the trap of writing something as if it's from you, so your own viewpoint, you know, your age, your gender, whatever, what you might like. But again, this whole persona and just planning in terms of who's going to come needs to run through, right? Everything you do, not just the content, but the messaging as well.
Absolutely agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah. AI, I'm just starting to get my head around it in a bit more detail. Is going to lack that qualitative insight that you have gathered. And by the way, I'm super pro the concept and the potential of what it can bring to the event sector in the future. But it's going to lack context. And you can probably get a first draft out of it for a session description, for example. I would really encourage you to then apply all of your own deep knowledge that you have developed to enhance it through the eyes of the potential attendee. And I think that's, again, everything that you might feed into, I'm just going to say ChatGPT, because that's what most people are still using, is going to come from your perspective, even subliminally. You're going to have to really force yourself and tell the tool to think of it from the attendee perspective. Sure. If you don't do that, it's always going to come from your own perspective.
Yeah, and also the same with imagery, right? So if we talk about attendee experience, if I go to a website or see some other promotional material, I think it's for me, or you know, that wants to convey to me that I should be attending. Let's have, again, the right imagery, whether that's static images or videos of the personas that we're trying to attract.
Yes, right? They need to resonate.
I still see lots of conference websites and trade show websites where you've got, you know, people's eyes closed or someone's like this or, you know, and it's no one's fault. Everyone's rushed. It's like, let's get some pictures up on the website. And these, again, obvious things that we've been doing for years, but it's even more, ever more important now, right? So,
yeah, I think it's that piece about what that's what they do, right? They're going to sit in a room. Do they? Yeah. Is that inspiring?
Yeah.
No, what's actually inspiring is being able to achieve something after the event that you couldn't do before. So sure. That's event imagery. I think event imagery is tough, actually. I don't think it's an easy element of our event marketing, because it's hard to get footage that represents specific activities of your event. It can get really generic quite quickly.
Yeah, but again, with sort of post-show videos, if you're interviewing people on site, you know, make sure that what you're putting out is again consistent with the branding and the messaging that you want to achieve. All right, so prioritizing the attendee experience. The event itself, so we need to design events where, you know, people leave and they feel that they've achieved something. So coming back to before, okay, so the event in the messaging, it promised me this. Talk about at the event, the design, how that can be designed. And again, there's all different types of events, but, you know, generally.
Massively varies on type of event. Actually, I'd like to share an amazing experience I had of incredible event design this Monday. So I went to the Mice Book International Women's Day event. About 100 people. So what I'm going to share now isn't replicable across a 10,000 person trade show. I fully accept, but I think the concepts are there. And what the organizing team very, very obviously decided they wanted us to achieve was build an increased number of very close relationships, have a couple of tangible takeaways ourselves that we had quite literally written down. And you know what else? They wanted us to have so much fun. I haven't been to an event where I honestly had so much fun. I mean, we were all smiling from beginning to end, and they did things to make that happen. That wasn't, it didn't happen by accident. They had very specific activities. So I'll share one of them, and this, I'm really curious to see your response to this, because this is also not a particular activity that you could just roll out, but it was completely perfect for this group. And that's what was so, why it was so good. Short story. Did you know, I didn't know this, that red lipstick was the unofficial symbol of women suffragettes in the US? Stick with me here. So we were, there's also quite a lot of research, I didn't know this, that red lipstick does give you like an energy boost, it flicks some endorphins in your brain, and other people view you differently. So we're all sitting there like, okay, where are they going with this red lipstick conversation? And then they said, and in the center of the table, you'll find there's a box. Inside the box, there is one lipstick for every single person in this room as a, it's a gift. Get it out, put it on. And 100 women had hysterics putting on this red lipstick. Now you can see why I'm saying this isn't super repeatable.
Sure.
But it was about 11 a.m. So it was quite early in the day. The bonding that came out of that to feed into those relationship building, the fun that came out of it, the laughter, the hysteria, frankly, on one table. It was really profound. And those connections were very, very quickly built. Later on, we were given a task that all 100 of us had to do a short team building exercise, which incredibly only took 40 seconds. I don't know how we did it so fast. But what that also did was meant we made additional connections. We were then grouped with people who we'd never met before to discuss specific topics that we had to write our tangible takeaways from, that was facilitated. And it was really heavily designed. There is no way that a single person left that event without new relationships having been built, without some personal targets in place, and without having had a hell of a lot of fun. And it was so obvious throughout the whole day, not just the agenda, even the networking breaks, that everything was gearing that in one way or another, and nothing was left to chance. There was no, oh, you know, we'll make sure the food's nice and I'm sure they'll have a good break. It was so curated and so impactful. And it, what it really made me realize is we can innovate the design and the structure of events. We really can. We just have to be prepared to identify the needs of the attendee and then to provide the structure for that to actually happen. And I totally accept that this is quite a daunting task, and you worry, will the attendees think I'm patronizing them? Will the attendees listen? Will the attendees think I'm silly? And I think in reality, let's have a 1,000 person event to scale it up, you're always going to have a small minority that won't get on board, because that's life. But if you have created, designed an event experience that enables those goals of the attendee, most of them will get on board. And even if it's not perfect, they'll appreciate the effort so much to helping them achieve their goals that, you know, it, I don't think it has to be perfect, actually. It just has to help them hit their goals.
Yeah, so that's really interesting. So there was clear intent there from the organizer to change it up a bit, create an impact without hopefully being sort of over the top or making people feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, and you know, I think there were a couple of women that didn't put the lipstick on. Fine, they didn't feel comfortable. Yeah, you know, it doesn't matter. They were still part of the experience and they still enjoyed the experience. This wasn't for them personally.
So generally, it's about, yeah, as you say, designing. I think you would use the word design, which was
interesting. Yeah, I can see your face. Dan's like, where the hell do I go with this? She did not tell me she was going to drop this into it.
It's interesting. It's different. There you go. Each to their own. But I guess what we're saying is it's easy just to get on that treadmill of events, right, where you're replicating the same event year after year or the same portfolio of events. That's the easy thing to do. Right. The harder and sort of, I guess, you know, it takes a bit more thought and process is to come up with something that's a bit different.
And different.
Yeah.
So important. It's okay to do things differently. And we doing the same thing you did last year, in my opinion, is another D word, which is dangerous.
Yeah.
Attendees will not accept repeat experiences. They just won't. The world has changed. Their expectations have elevated. Also, our ability to deliver kick-ass events has also elevated. And I know that sometimes comes with a budget requirement. So sometimes you might have to be super, super resourceful. But doing things differently for the right reasons with your attendees in mind can be incredibly powerful.
Yeah, and I think also if you're in a competitive space, let's take a conference, for example, and there are similar conferences for similar audiences, as ever, you need to try and create a point of difference. And that will allow you to do that. Or if you're planning an event, you're an event planner and you're planning it for a company, again, you know, coming up with different ideas and communicating with them, getting their buy-in to try these different things, I think also can make a real difference. And I think, you know, we talk a lot about inclusivity, but making clearly, you know, making the events accessible and that both, you know, for men, for physical and non-obvious disabilities, but also, you know, conversations that we've heard on socials around alcohol events and all that sort of stuff. So event design, trying to cater for your sort of core personas, as long as you've got those right in the first place is I guess key.
Yeah, absolutely. Shouldn't underestimate the need to be inclusive. But again, it's an expectation now. Get it wrong, and you'll suffer from it. You've got a lot of criticism. Yeah.
We all get sent surveys after events. You know, can I have your feedback? Here's maybe a token for something, or you enter a free prize draw, which maybe they exist or not. And how can we do better in terms of enabling, you know, keeping attendees engaged with us after the event rather than just sort of sending things to surveys?
Again, I think I would recommend coming back to the goals of the attendee and don't at that point in time allow yourself to be inward looking only at your own goals. And I would be bringing those back into the conversation. So in your wrap up email, give them a few action points to make sure they get the most out of it. Be sure to send those LinkedIn messages. Be sure to do XYZ. Refer back to the documents that you guys all came up with during the workshop on brainstorming. Review it. Actually guide them through their experience, because we all get so busy. You know, you get back into the office after an event and you are, you know, it's kind of gets back on the hamster wheel. So make life easy for them. Remind them of all the things that they should be doing after your event. And that with the surveys, I'd really like to see these appropriately become a little bit more specific. So I get there's things you're going to want to ask about the food, you're going to want to ask about the venue. That might actually be a really important part of your event if it was a beverage, food and beverage event, for example. But I'd like to see us being specific with the attendees. Next year, or for our future portfolio, we intend to provide you more opportunities to X, Y, Z, whatever that might be. So that you'll find there's more questions around this so that you can help us get it right for you. And then, you know, really go to town on the area that you need to help you with, and you know, perhaps focus a little bit less on some of the more standard things like the venue, for example. Venues are really important, but tell them why. Don't just say, here's a survey, cheers. Tell them what's in it for them.
And how they can continuously engage with your content as well all year round. Yeah, which most of us are doing. As we know, you know, years ago, it's you go to an event, there's a sign at the end saying, see you next year. Whereas more and more we talk a good game about 365 community engagement. Do we do enough of it? You know, how else can they engage with you throughout the year after that particular event? Because really, I guess what we're trying to do is create advocates going forward as well. You know, try and personalize the messaging as much as possible. If it's only an event for a small number of people, you know, try and engage with them directly, call them, arrange follow-ups.
That's what we're trying to achieve. We're trying to create advocates as the event organizers. Yeah. But what are they trying to achieve? And that's what you have to lead with. And then you will naturally create those advocates if they are benefiting from the activity, from following up with the content, from, you know, rejoining a webinar with the same attendee group 3 months later. Why? What's in it for them? They'll become advocates. If they're getting value from you, they will become advocates. So focus on them, and your goals will almost certainly follow if they're aligned.
Sure. Fantastic. Listen, we are sadly out of time. I know you're very busy. Thank you for giving up your time today. I know we're going to see lots of your content across socials. I know you've said you started doing some TikToks. So can people follow you on TikTok? Have you got, like, I don't know.
I do actually have some followers, Dan. Yeah. About 170, I think.
How do people find you on TikTok?
Well, I found this very hard. Vanessa Lovett Talks, all one word. That's as far as I got.
Vanessa Lovett. Okay. Lovett Talks. Fair enough.
You can actually change your handle really easily on TikTok. I've only recently discovered this, but that's what it is.
Okay. Yeah. We wish you the best for the future. Thank you for giving up your time. Thank you everyone that did watch live, that's also listening on demand. And I'm going to let Vanessa get on with the rest of her day. Thank you so
much. Thanks for having me.
I'll see you in the green room after, virtual green room. Okay. Thanks, guys. Thanks for watching. Hope that was useful. And as I said, I've got a live LinkedIn around the same time next week with Trevor Foley, MD of TF Connect, who's going to be talking about recruitment in the events and exhibitions industry. Please check my LinkedIn and danassor.com for other sort of pre-recorded content. I wish you all the very best for the rest of your day and hope to see you again soon.